It's the Tiltcast, episode 693, Real Life Pick an Axe.
And this week, guys, we talk more Slay the Spire 2. We talk some modded Fallout New Vegas, the Portal games, and Pow World. Stay tuned.
Survival Evolved.
And we're back.
Ooh, boy.
Woo! It's the Tiltcast.
It is the Nimrod Show. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rusty.
And the three of us, you'll get, who knows, a few minutes of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Some games and some news, I assume. It's been a busy summer.
Dude, I'm sweating balls.
I know.
I'm not saying something.
Rusty's busy playing real life pick and axe games.
Dude, I am. It's amazing. I'm a little bit of a farmer now. And the only thing that I've been able to harvest is 6 cucumbers and a handful of radishes. Oh boy. But yeah, man, it's been nice being outside for once. And it's gotten to a point where I am now saying that it's even hot. And my little AC unit is barely keeping up. So yeah.
Oh wait, you actually have an AC unit?
Just for the humidity, really. Honestly, it's only big enough for my bedroom. And I have my bedroom closed off and a fan blowing into the office here. And it's not getting to the office.
There is a saying.
The computer is overpowering it.
It's not the heat, it's the humidity. It's going to get you.
And that is what's going on here, is I've got a lot of humidity going on. I'm okay with, you know, with temperature. Like, it's 90 degrees, it's not bad. But when it gets soupy, that nobody is happy. So that's why I have an AC unit specifically for my bedroom, because if there's one room in the, you know, in the house that I am going to want non-soupy, it is the place where I'm going to sleep. The rest of it is just like managed misery. That's kind of what's going on up here. But man, I've been really, over the past couple weeks, I've been out camping, had a good fourth, was out on the boat, watched two fireworks displays. Went swimming a couple times, and just been, around the campfire on the weekends, except for this last weekend. This last weekend I spent in the garden. Oh my God, am I burnt?
In the garden,
I am a color. Just a few shades off of code red.
Starting to get a little bit of color. It's hard to tell in this light, but I've been outside too, man.
Yeah.
Yep. I have too.
Been.
Yeah. Luckily, it's been for a pool and not for gardening.
Yeah, for me, it's been. Just telling the boys here, I got this little thing from Walmart for $12. It's a floaty for your cooler. So, like, come 4th of July, because that happened, right? 4th of July, you know, America. I blew some shit up. And then that week, the day before, me and my girlfriend went and grabbed the cooler and grabbed a floaty for the cooler. And we threw, we didn't have this idea the first time. But by the time we went out there, the second part of the weekend after the 4th, we threw a Bluetooth speaker in there, a bunch of... Well, she found mixers of like white Russians. And then I had like, I'm not going to say sponsored, but some other alcoholic beverages in there. And we threw those in the cooler and just floated out the middle of the lake and just sat in our little floaties with the cooler, with the Bluetooth speaker, with some hats. Soaked in some rays, felt weightless, got a little bit tipsy, more than a little bit tipsy. And all was good. And then we repeated that again last weekend, and all was still good. And we may do it again next weekend, because it's awesome.
Nice.
It's very relaxing. And costs almost nothing.
You know what would be even more relaxing? Being able to do that without having to drive 45 minutes.
I mean, there's that too, but there is something about just being out in the water. Both options are nice. I do like the lake.
I like the lake. I just prefer being able to just, you know, take 10 steps into my backyard and get in my own damn pool.
There's the maintenance of the pool that I'm not a fan of, and I've been basically setting it up for days, and it's not perfect. The pool robot's wearing out. I just got some tape to seal a leak that I got in the sidewall of the pool. Like, I'm going to try to clean it up this week, but I'm like 5 seconds from just letting the fucker drain. I'm over it. I've been trying to get to it every day, and I've been getting a little bit of time here and there to mess with it. And I had the lowest water pressure in the world filling that thing up. It took 3 days to get halfway full.
Holy crap.
Yeah, because the spigots messed up on the back faucet in the backyard. So the torrential downpour we had this weekend filled it the rest of the way up. So I've got rainwater in there. And I've been essentially cleaning. I haven't gotten the pool chemicals in yet. I'm trying to clean the bottom off before I start throwing chemicals in. So that's the project tomorrow. And, you know, the grass has been growing like crazy because it's been the rainiest damn July. Man, 4th of July, I'm telling you, I don't know what happened with you, Rusty, but we're sitting here blowing shit up. And out of nowhere, like, I saw storms coming in. And my girlfriend texted me because she was out with her family, which is out in an area west of where I was at, so south of town. And she was west of me about 20 miles. So she's blowing shit up with her family. And she's like, babe, you check the weather. I was like, what? It's like, check the weather. She's like, it's blowing like crazy here. She's like, you need to pack up soon. I was like, okay. And it wasn't like I was disregarding her, but I saw it. I didn't realize how fast it moved in. And it moved in, and pretty soon it's like really dark. I still got some mortars to fire. And then it just blows all the chairs and the little table that I had set up for everything. Just blows it all over. Like, all of a sudden. So we had to pack it all up. And then it just started running sideways, like, 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
And it did the same thing out there, I'm sure, Jason.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we didn't. We ended up not even attempting because, you know how I am. I was already paying attention to the.
It didn't roll in until 8:30.
The podcast or to the forecast. And, I was like, man, the second we start really getting into the good fireworks, it's probably going to rain. So we ended up just not even going anywhere.
That sucks.
Oh, man. I mean, I did
But then we ended up doing it this past weekend. So, I mean,
there's that.
That's fine. We still ended up rained on. But the kids got their fireworks shot off before the rain came in, at least this time.
Yeah. I got out on, like I said, I was out on the water, so I was able to watch those displays. It was about the next day, I think, when the storms came through, but we had some really hellacious storms come through. There was like 60-mile-an-hour winds, and it was crazy just before and right after.
So you were posting about tornado stuff there, weren't you?
We had some. We've actually had more tornadoes in Michigan than we generally do. And a lot of them were waterspouts. There was a waterspout that was not too far away from me, about maybe 5 miles, right out in, in the bay. And that's crazy. I mean, it's not normal for us. We had a really cold winter, and then spring was like a blink, and then it rolled right into summer, and it's just been like storm after storm, and then, you know, it's just a weird thing. But I mean, it puts a damper on the whole camping thing. I mean, my outdoors, like you were going outdoors and you're going out to the lake. You know, Jason, you're out, you know, you're trying to get that pool going. My only out is to go out to my parents' seasonal campground site and go out on their pontoon boat when they go out. So it's like, it's all right. I'm not a big fan of, you know, swimming around anyway, but it is nice to cool down. And the only option I have right now in the house is to go take a cold shower, which is probably going to happen immediately after we record here. But yeah, holy crap, man. It's been a wild weather. And I don't know, it was this some El Nino or some bullshit. I'm not a meteorologist, but it's all weird. Hopefully it means that I'm going to have a mild winter. That's all I care about, because winters up here suck.
Well, hopefully.
I'll trade you winters, for sure. You can move up here, I'll move down there. I'll take care of Lola for you.
I mean, it'd help every now and then.
Look, I'm fine dealing with the summer as long as I've got my pool.
But even then, I mean, when it's 110 degrees outside and sun beating down, that's still bath water out there, so.
Oh, no.
It's been hot as hell.
No, you don't remember it. That, well, you've not seen in so long. That oak tree now covers most of the backyard, sir. That pool is almost constantly under shade. It never, ever gets above 75 degrees. It is glorious.
That?
It is always that's a great temperature.
That, I know that oak tree was big, dude.
Yeah, no, it covers like most of the yard. Like literally the basically that lower almost half a yard where the starting at the shed and down to that back fence line. Mm-hmm. That's the only unshaded part.
Damn.
Yeah. Otherwise, from fence to fence, it's pretty much shaded.
Well.
So it, like, my backyard's not bad to live in. Not anymore. But that also means I always have a lot of tree maintenance, and I always have a bunch of stuff falling into my pool, which I'm constantly having screen out, but. Hey, I'll take it.
Yeah,
it keeps the pool cool.
Now you know why I was not like overly concerned about coverage on my pool. I'm just like, yeah, fuck it. I'm just gonna skim it. It's the life we live to not get sunburned while I sit in my pool. But
yeah,
that being said, you guys do any gaming? Rusty's I've been a farmer. He's like, I built a $3,000 irrigation system. I'm growing lotuses in my backyard along with like heritage mushrooms.
Red potatoes.
I got asparagus.
A handful of radishes and six cucumbers out of it, and I think I probably put somewhere around $600 or $700 into this freaking garden
for like $20 worth of vegetables.
For about $20 for the vegetables so far. Now I'll tell you,
it's going to take like 10 years to pay itself off.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to have way too many cucumbers here.
I know. And then your prepper selves can be like, I'm going to make pickles. I'm going to make sweet pickles and hot pickles.
I am already. I've got the
cucumber salad and cucumber sandwiches.
I got the recipe right here for fridge cucumbers. I'm going to make fucking, you know.
You're going to come in every day and you're going to have cucumber water and like pickles with your sandwich with cucumbers in your salad. And you're just going to call you Cucumber Man.
Over my eyes. You betcha. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be throwing pickles at people. Just because.
I mean, they can also double as other things too.
So the other thing that I overplanted is tomatoes, but I have plans for those. I've got like 6 cherry tomato plants and 6 Roma tomato plants.
And so many tomatoes. Like I use like 2 tomatoes a week, if that.
But I will can tomatoes because the
you can make your own marinara.
Cherry tomatoes make a good sweet sauce, and the Roma tomatoes are perfect for stewing. So those things are gonna, I'm gonna have all the tomatoes for all of the marinara and all of the sauces. It's gonna be friggin' amazing.
Russ, you're slowly turning into my grandmother, who's dead.
I want to stay very much alive. I do have jalapenos. I have 6 plants of jalapenos. Can you imagine how many jalapenos I'm going to have?
You're going to have more because nobody is going to eat them there but you.
That's correct. And I'm going to pickle some of those too.
You're just going to have to take this shit to the farmer's market. On Saturdays, I go to the farmer's market and sell my fresh tomatoes, cucumbers, farm to table goods. Rusty is now farm to table. What are you
doing? I mean, get over here. Look, that's not necessarily a bad way to be.
I also have green peppers. I got 6 plants of green peppers. I have some cabbages growing. I have 3 lines of carrots, which is just whatever.
Good for stew.
6 buckets of potatoes.
Rusty, you should start a rabbit farm.
I mean,
you've got everything they need except for the hay.
Be okay for produce for a while. And I've got 6 buckets of onions.
Man, the deer are gonna love you.
When I pull all of this up, if I end up staying where I'm at, and I pull all of this up at the near the end of the season, I plan on going and getting a bunch of garlic, and I'm going to plant garlic over the winter, and that is going to be my spring harvest. Is just loads of garlic.
You know what you could turn the spring harvest into? You could feed it to bacon seeds.
Yes, I could. I could definitely feed it to bacon seeds and then turn those bacon seeds into actual bacons.
Yes. Yes. Do you have wild boar up there?
No.
So you got to watch out for that.
We don't, not where I'm at. I mean, there's wild boar everywhere, but not where I'm at. The bears keep them away.
Oh shit. You have bears and you have like all these vegetables.
And I'm in town. It's really not that bad. They still walk through town, but it's not that bad. I'm more worried about the deer around here.
That's fair.
They'll come through and just eat an entire garden. But
because the deer aren't afraid of people that way,
right?
They're not afraid in town over here.
Right. They'll body check a car. They don't care. To answer your question, because I've been outside doing a lot of that shit and out doing the outdoor stuff, I've had about 5 to 10 minutes for the game. Now, that doesn't say that – that's not to say that I don't have game on deck. I think I talked last time about about getting some additional games, and I ended up picking up Final Fantasy VII Remake, Intergrade, and Rebirth for PC. Hi-Fi Rush, Dead as Disco, and I've played a little bit of Pal World. Pal World, the 1.0, like the tiniest bit, like the 10 minutes I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's where I put it.
It just launched.
Yeah. And because it just launched, it became part of the radar. And what I can tell you is one of the things that initially put me off to that game is that it sounded almost exactly like Breath of the Wild. Like, the sound from the very beginning sounded like they ripped it directly from Breath of the Wild. I mean, a lot of stuff was, like, directly ripped from Nintendo, but hey, at least they won that war. But
yeah.
With the 1.0, I can notice a difference in the sound design, that it's not necessarily a straight direct ripoff. It has a little bit of nuances and influences to it, but it feels more like its own. That said, I'm not very far into it. I do plan on playing it a little bit more. And that's, you know, that's kind of on the agenda. But I've been craving a thing that no longer exists. I am craving a looter shooter. And with the death of Destiny, that reignited my need for a looter shooter. And the only really decent looter shooters that are, you know, out in the market, you know, these days is Borderlands, and I've already done the whole Borderlands thing. So I'm kind of mourning Destiny in a way. Because I just kind of thought that they would reiterate. I did know that they did, you know, they said that they plan, they promised a 10-year lifespan for Destiny, and they kind of, you know, against all odds, you know, fulfilled that 10-year commitment. But boy, I was not expecting it to just like dissolve them, you know, at the end of it. I was hoping that they would just go, hey, we're gonna take a step back. We're gonna let this ride a little bit, and then we're going to, you know, we're gonna come up and, you know, and do a reiteration. Maybe like, you know, do Destiny 3 or another spinoff of Destiny or something like that. Keep that gunplay. That's what was unique about Destiny, is the gunplay. Was probably some of the best gunplay available in looter shooters. It just felt so good. Like somehow they were able to distill the feel of a specific kind of gun with specific, you know, specific modifiers to it. And each and every one of those, you know, those guns felt distinct. That is something that Borderlands fails to do. Completely fails to do. It can do randomized bullshit, and it can throw fucking modifiers at a gun, but it does not feel unique. Whereas I can pick up some of the unique weapons from Destiny, and some of them, the basic weapons, and they feel unique. They have individual like fire rates. They chunk at different rates. They do different damages. They have, you know, they have a gimmick that's specific to the gun, that you can build around. That is something that is missing from pretty much anything that I've seen so far. Some games kind of get close, but nothing quite does it like Destiny. So I'm kind of sad in a way. But I know there's there's other games out there. I can, you know, and I'm gonna explore a lot of these games here as I get time. Summer is kind of weird for me because, I tend to be outdoors a little bit more. So,
you know, yeah,
as fall comes around, as you know, as winter comes in, there may be a bit more time for me to actually like dig into some of these games, because I really want to play Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrated on PC. And just go to town. And of course, Final Fantasy XIV, still a thing. I'm still paying for that damn game. Even though I haven't really logged in outside of keeping my house alive for the past few months. But yeah. I'm getting there.
Well, I similarly have gamed some, though I've been a little bit more retro. I have been, when I can, playing a modded New Vegas on my ROG Ally, which runs, of course, really, really well, because that game is old as shit. But hey, it's still, even all these years later, nobody's really written a game that long as well as Obsidian did, except maybe Larian. Right. So there's that. I played through both Portal games with the kids. Also using the Ally with the talk on the TV in the living room, because hey, that's now easier too. Along with some Mortal Kombat 1.
I apologize, my dog is like chewing his lettuce.
That game's pretty. Huh?
I apologize, Lola is chewing as loud as fucking possible.
Oh, you're fine.
We can hear it. It's fine.
We can't hear it. So yeah, a lot of really random stuff in the middle of just, you know, doing summer things. You know, this is like the, aside from the major holidays during the winter, this is usually the busiest time of year for me as far as not being able to game, so. So the fact that I got to play what I did play, I will take it over and over.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat, right? Like, so me and my gal play a lot of Slay the Spire. We've got Adelpha 6. We've got Ironclad Surprising at level 6. We've got the Silent at Alpha 7. And we got Defect at level 5 or 6. And then still working on we just got Necrobinder to level 4 last night. Usually it's like, I don't know, we play one run a night if we don't play something else. And try to see if we can advance. And it's been like, the progress has been about once a week that we find one of them, we finally advance. So I found this crazy vulnerable build with Ironclad, where we were hitting for, like, stupid damage. Because there's a card that also makes you do, we got from Necrobinder, I think it was Necrobinder, that lets you do 50% more vulnerable damage. And so we play that, and then there's a one called Bully that coincides with vulnerable, like the amount of vulnerable you have on something. So we'd put, like, 30 stacks of vulnerable on something, and then just one-shot it with a hit for, like, 300. It's an insane build that we came up with, but that's how we advanced on Ironclad. And Silent, surprisingly, we did a Sly / Poison build, and we got that thing that triggers poison twice on every tick. So it's like if it's 9, it's 9 and 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Slay Spire 2 is pretty good. Like we're clearing our hard run every week. And then on the sly, see what I did there? I couldn't really get myself to get anything on the summer sale to the first for me. And I got too much stuff on backlog. I started playing Path of Exile 2, and I'm working my way through with a druid right now, which is, don't tell me how many things wrong I got. I've got all the things wrong. I'm starting with Spellcaster, okay, because I didn't want to transform. Weird, you might say. I like the spells a lot. And he's a cool-looking dude with a beard. So that's what I'm doing. Cool-looking dude with beard gets lightning and fire and explosions and poison and tangling vines and all sorts of bullshit. That's cool. So I'm playing a little PoE too. I know that's still in early access, right? Or is it 1.0?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it is.
I feel like Rusty would know, but he didn't.
I don't.
I just wanted an RPG. Like, I played a lot of Diablo and another like on season 3000, but I was like, PoE's already in my library. I don't want to spend any more money. I'm going to do this. Yeah,
I think PoE, like the original PoE?
Yeah.
Or PoE 2.
PoE 2.
PoE 2 is still early access. It's not fully done.
Yeah, but you can still.
But then again, PoE was early access for the longest time. So
it's a pretty long game.
Well, with Path of Exile, it's one of those games that because they do a new gimmick every season, the base game isn't the game. Like is the game. Because you're trying the new thing, and if the new thing takes off and works,
it becomes then part of the base
integrate
game.
It into the base game.
Yeah. PoE's good. But it's I'm trying not to think about what the approach I took with Path of Exile this time is I'm just going to experiment and not worry about spending hours theorcrafting something. I liked the spells I started off with, and I was like, this is kind of cool. I'm going to keep playing spells. That seemed neat. I like spells. Spells equal shooty stuff equal fun. Right?
Yeah. I never really liked like the bows or anything like that. The spells were really good.
Their spell effects are cool. The game looks pretty good, right? Like, it's darker than Diablo, which is kind of hard to say, but it's darker, it's grittier. It's cool. It looks up to date. Like it's a good game. And I needed something very different for what I was doing. And it's still a game that you can, like, kind of half-ass pay attention to the story, but mostly pay attention to whatever else you want to pay attention to. Yeah. So it still works for that kind of stuff. Right? My dog.
I like it for the fact that it kind of requires you to know your positioning, whereas Diablo, you can just face tank everything.
Yeah, it's got WASD and a dodge key. So I've been using the I've been dancing on all the boss fights, which has been fun.
Yeah, you have to dance. That's another thing that I really want. I want another Souls game. Oh my god.
God Onimisha coming out here in a couple months.
I know, but
that looks dope. Try some Neo. There's that expansion for Life of Pi. Or is it Life of... Is it Life of Pi? No. Life of P.
Liza P.
Life of Pi is a movie. It's got a tiger in it, right?
Yeah, it's got the tiger.
Yeah.
There is something coming in August for...
did you play Valor Mortis? I got the demo. It's pretty tits.
Valor Mortis?
Yep, look it up. Yeah, there's a demo out, I think, still. I didn't play through it real long. I was just like, okay, I like the combat. This seems neat. I'm not going to get overly invested in the demo. Thank you, Valor Mortis. Definitely on my wish list. I will buy you.
Oh, yeah. I remember this. This is like the one that's kind of got the
Yeah, it's France.
Yeah.
And I think Napoleon is raising, like, turning everybody into undead creatures and monsters and demons and all sorts of shit. Super goofy with that. However, as goofy as that is, enemy design is pretty cool. Things cut off. Dismemberment is fun. Things feel very chunky. More of a parry game than it is a dodge game, for sure. The parry window is pretty forgiving. It's more forgiving than Liza P. And I was able to get Liza P down, so.
Yeah. I know in August, I think, it's not an official, it's not an official DLC, per se. But there's going to be an update in August to Elden Ring that gives a couple new starting classes, which gives, you know, some people, you know, some additional build variety at the beginning of the game. And that includes the Milady sword, which you had to actually like get into. You had to get into the DLC to be able to get. So being able to start with that sword is kind of amazing.
You know, I'm okay with the best game that ever came out in all of existence getting more content. Sure. Another reason to go back to that game.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've played
this. Praise the sun. I know it's not Dark Souls,
I've got 648 hours in Elden Ring, dude.
Yeah, I need to play something else. But, Jason, do you have anything else that you played?
No, that's about it, because I've only gotten, like, 12 hours of gaming total in the last, 3 weeks.
Damn.
So, yeah, it's been kind of dry over here.
All right. Well, how come? How about us take a quick break, serve up a couple of news stories then?
Sounds good to me.
All right, we'll be back. Back.
Oh boy.
My little mascot is right next to me, staring deep into my eyes, those little beady eyes. She's
so lovable.
I guess.
You guess. She's like your second or third favorite photography target. It's just
probably goes my girlfriend, my dog, and then Squid. Those are all. And then Waylon.
There you go. Yeah. I miss Lola Pup.
If you're curious about my work, watch, if you're familiar with Killer's Confession. You figure it out. Your name's Nas. There is a, he almost always posts my stuff the next day after the show. Did a bunch of Killer's Confession stuff in Oklahoma. I'll be doing X Faces, which is Mushroom Head redo. It's more Mushroom Head than Mushroom Head is nowadays. I'm doing pictures for them at the end of the month, which is why we've got a wonky recording schedule, because doing a lot of stuff for that. There's an offshoot band for Saliva I'm doing a bunch of stuff for. So, but yeah, I love taking pictures of Waylon. Waylon from Mushroom Head is a very nice guy. And always does me very good. It's a really random connection, but man, I fucking hustle, guys.
I mean, you get some really good shots. So,
yep. And I've got to take those quality shots the entire band, because they're all major ex Mushroom Head players.
Yeah, I mean, some of the shots that you get from their shows, man, it's just so good. And it really, they've got some really great passes, too.
Yeah, and I won't say what it is because I'm not ready to reveal it, but my girlfriend is in a symphonic metal project that she is solo wrote. She is a trained opera singer who also knows music theory inside and out, and we are recording her first single here in about 3 weeks. So we were doing that as well over the weekend, and then we got the next single lined up, and then the next single lined up after that. She's got 3 songs ready to go, and she's been multi-tracking and doing. She is a crazy hard worker. Haven't released her photos because it's all part of her promotion that doesn't come out until you know, she's releasing singles. But yeah, we are recording with someone who has done production work with Afroman, and she likes to keep her name very private for very obvious reasons, but she will have a stage name, and that's what I will refer to her as when she releases her single.
Nice.
So, anywho, yeah, you know, lots of things going. But in the wide world of video games, there are two really big stories that I am super excited about, to be honest with you.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, there is... Let's talk about the smaller one. So, everybody at this point, we're covering this way after the fact. This is not breaking news. PS5, or Sony, is not doing physical disc production as of, like, next year, right?
Right.
And that has put a serious damper on a lot of things. A lot of people are pretty upset about this. There was a poll done by Push Square, which is a pretty popular gaming website. And they did a poll. So the poll said, are you considering moving from PlayStation to PC? 6,500 votes. So that's a decent poll size. 23% say, no, I'm sticking with PlayStation. 7% say, I've thought about it, but probably won't. 45% say, yes, I'm seriously considering it. 15% say, I've already switched to PC. And then 10% say, I mainly play on both already. I'm in the camp of PlayStation exclusives that play on the PS5, and then if it's going to come to PC, I kind of wait for it there. So, like, the Demon's Souls remaster, of course, I'm playing it on there on PS5. I already played it a while back, but I haven't turned that thing on in, like, a year at this point. There hasn't been anything. Yeah, like, it's not something I regularly play, but I have it just in case, and I've moved on past that stuff. But here's the crazy thing. So, the PC is, or the PS5 is going to be $1,000 soon, right? Yeah. So, the follow-up question was, if you're considering PC, what's the biggest reason? 5,200 votes. Sony ending physical games, 41%. Rising console prices, 9%. More games available on PC, surprising, only 8%. Better long-term game ownership, 14%. Better performance and upgrade options, 8%. That doesn't surprise me with the RAM and memory costs. Mm-hmm. And then only 19% says they have no interest in PC gaming. So, but 41% say they are upset about the physical disc thing.
See, I don't. That ought to be like.
That. Well, yeah, we don't.
I don't understand that. Looking at my purchase history on PC, the last time I bought a physical anything for my PC, you know, that had to do with games was peripherals, a freaking controller. I've not had a disc for a game in ages. I don't think you've really
been able to buy a disc copy of any popular game on PC for over a decade at this point.
Right. It's so been I guess I don't understand that reasoning at all. Because if you're pissed at PlayStation for getting rid of physical discs, you're just going to go to the ecosystem that's basically been disc-free for, you know, a decade. I don't have as much in my Steam library as you do, but that's where most of my games are. I've kind of made my bed and have come to peace with the fact that, you know, that, yeah, I bought licenses to these games, and yeah, there's you know, these games are digital and they could go away at any time, and there are some games in my library that I can't play because they don't exist anymore. But going away from PlayStation just because physical discs go away is kind of a weird experience.
Well, that here's some follow-up for that. So the follow-up question, or the last question of this poll, was, if PS6 cost around $1,000, what would you do? 5,600 votes. Buy it at launch, 14%. Wait for a price drop, 15%. Build or buy a gaming PC instead, 29%. Skip the generation altogether, 29%. Not sure, 12%. So there are some that just shows you where the hardcore fanboys are. Think building a PC right now is unfeasible, but that can't carry on forever, right? We hope.
You would think. there's indications in the PC market that it's going to level off. And basically what is happening in the PC space is there's a push to get additional, possibly even lower performance, options out so that people have options. Like what you look at for PC, you know, hardware has always been the latest, greatest thing. The latest, greatest thing. This thing is powerful. This thing is awesome. This thing, you know, and it's like you just
to get that, you have to put a down payment on a car,
right? But you can't iterate like that and keep the prices the same. Eventually, it gets out of control. Well, there's games right now. I can tell you right now, I'm playing on a 3090, and that's more than most people have. Most people have something that's like a 3080 or 3060 or something equivalent to that. Like it's in the ballpark of the median, right? And games are playing to that median, you know, amount. You don't need to have the best clocked RAM to play video games reliably. You don't need to have the best transfer rate on SSDs to play games reliably. You need reliable hardware, sure, but you don't necessarily need the absolute best to be able to play these games. And that's what's been marketed to us for so many years. So, to go by that poll, if the PlayStation is $1,000 and there's enough change in the PC market so that there is a median amount of, I don't know, Chinese knockoff parts that still perform, that would get you a halfway decent PC for what we would consider halfway decent prices a couple of years ago. I could see that. But as it is right now, there's no way. Because to be able to get what you're going to get for the PlayStation 6 as far as hardware performance, you're going to have to spend 3-4 times that on a PC. I mean, for me, I would still do the PC because of personal reasons, and you know, I use my PC way more than I use a PlayStation. But you know, if you compared that to say like, I don't know, compare it to a Steam, like the Steam machine. You know, that is basically a Linux computer.
Yeah, and the Steam machines are, what, I think $1,300 or something like that?
Right, but it now, that gives you...
But it's a PC.
That gives you options. Like, it gives you all of the Steam options, but none of the, none of the games that only come out on PlayStation. And I have railed against the walled garden bullshit from PlayStation and Xbox. I thought that there was some light at the end of the tunnel when PlayStation started releasing these games on PC. But apparently, that's going away too. So I don't know. I mean, it's a really weird market. And I think that at some point, between hardware, game availability, and just the fact that games as a license becoming the norm, there's going to be some major changes probably in the next generation of consoles and PC hardware that's going to make some it's going to make some waves. I think there's going to be some change. I don't know what that change is going to look like, but I definitely feel it.
Well, there's a couple.
Oh, yeah. Change is coming.
There's a lot of change coming.
I mean, one positive change is, I know there's been a lot of turbulence around Xbox Game Studios and them you know, trying to sell some studios, shuttering others, big layoffs. But one positive thing is looks like they've made a move that I thought they should have made a couple years ago to start capitalizing on the Fallout Amazon series hype. And that is, they have reportedly pulled the plug on Obsidian's Avowed sequel in favor of a new Fallout game. Not Fallout 5. An offshoot game.
Bro, you know how to edge like a motherfucker. You know that, right? Like, Josh Sawyer is doing Fallout again.
Jesus. Like,
yeah, oh, man. Man, he's look, just like...
I wanted to edge it. Hold that nut. It's so much sweeter in the end.
We're just... Well, let's just going to go through back through the... This guy can do somewhat average to extremely good. So, this is his actual... He had nothing to do with Avowed, by the way. Not as a designer. Maybe some writing. Who knows? Icewind Dale. Icewind Dale, Heart of Winter. Icewind Dale 2. Gauntlet, Seven Sorrows. Not a great game. Neverwinter Nights 2. Good. Alpha Protocol. Flawed, but good. Fallout New Vegas. The best Fallout. All of the New Vegas DLCs. That's Dead Money, Honest Hearts, Old World Blues, Lonesome Road, and Gunrunner's Arsenal. Both project directors and lead designers and narrative designers on all that stuff. Pillars of Eternity. Also, objectively very good. Pillars of Eternity Deadfire, not quite as good as one, but still very good. Pentiment, I never played. That's what he's got under his belt. The bad Obsidian games, or the Obsidian games that we didn't give a shit about, were the ones that Josh Shire wasn't involved with. He's back. And, again, he's got recent stuff that's still good. So, I feel pretty good about this. Avowed 2, they were going to have to... reevaluate all the bad mistakes they made with Avowed to make it good, right? Giving them another offshoot Fallout game is like the best news I've heard in so long. I hope this comes out and it doesn't take 5 years. In fact, a lot of the problems that they were with all the cuts and all the different directions they were taking is Bethesda, you're taking too damn long with your projects. Focus down and get rid of stuff that's not working. Like they're going to stop support for Starfield in favor of working on Elder Scrolls, right? And then they've got some Fallout remasters. So 3 in New Vegas are in the pipeline. They're being done by another company. Probably have some people from Bethesda helping with tying things together. But for the most part, those are coming out alongside. You have to see at this point that Fallout is just doing gangbusters on Amazon. There is interest there. There's been interest all along. What are you thinking with Starfield? Just stick with your good flagships. You're a good Elder Scrolls maker and a good Fallout maker. Do those things. Your studio's not big enough to put out an Assassin's Creed game every year like Ubisoft. Also, most of those games suck. But anyways, Fallout's coming back. And I think right now the schedule is... There's a lot of rumor. Take everything I'm about to say with a grain of salt. But basically 2027 is where we're supposed to get Fallout 3 remaster. In the same way that they did Obsidian, which was pretty good. Oblivion, I'm sorry.
Oblivion, you mean?
Yeah.
Reportedly, Virtuous is working on Fallout 3, while they have another studio working to do the same thing for Fallout New Vegas, though they've not confirmed which studio is working on that.
As long as they can fix some of the game-breaking bugs and some of the jank from both of those games.
That was a long time ago.
I mean, yeah, it was a long time ago, and there's numerous mods.
The unofficial New Vegas patch is the big one that helps with a lot of that stuff. But, like, right now, like, that's what we almost started last night. Me and my girlfriend, we were like, let's do New Vegas, and then we got back so late that we didn't really have time to mess with it. So we did a Spire run. But anyways, I'm planning on doing a Vegas run here soon, and Jason's doing Vegas modded Vegas on his portable.
Yeah, I mean, it was just easier to, you know, download the unofficial patch and found out the easiest way to mod New Vegas for you know, the Steam Deck and any of the other handhelds that are running Bazider Steam OS I forget the name of the thing now. I know I posted it for Justin, but it's basically a piece of software similar to WabbaJack. Where it installs a mod collection. And I just installed most of Viva New Vegas, which adds a lot of quality of life mods, and updates some of the UIs, etc., to similar to Fallout 4, which the UI in Fallout 4 was really the only real great improvement that game made over what Fallout 3 and New Vegas did.
The base building was basically the proto version of Fallout 76's base building. So,
yeah,
it's so. So the thing is, here, I'm gonna let you guys do that. See, I'm in the camp of I'm going to play. I'll play the remakes, like the games that they're going to put out here.
It's going to
Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas.
It's going to be a little while.
Bit. I know. But I've already waited basically half a fucking decade for Elder Scrolls, right? So let's go here.
I feel like I'm going to be 50 before they release a new Fallout game.
I feel like I will be. For sure. But I want to see what the difference is between the two. And there's just enough jank for those two games that I really don't want to deal with it. So I'm happy that this is happening. I'm also happy that there's a new IP coming, which promises, I mean, it promises that they could do better. Now, what engine will they be using? That's going to be the question. Like,
we're not there yet. It's just Josh saw your tweeting.
Right. So, I mean, that the questions I have is like, you know, Obsidian doing Fallout, they basically kind of borrowed off of the Creation Engine, right? So what were they, what is going
to happen? As long as it's not an Unreal, let's just...
I mean, I don't think Unreal can do the objects that.
No, it's and Unreal like is overly system tasking. I think I'm kind of over Unreal right now. But as news pops up, I'm not the biggest Fallout fan in the world. It's one of my favorite franchises that keeps getting screwed over and has been for the better part of 25 plus years. Be it rest assured, I will be looking up everything Fallout and letting everybody know what's going on in the world of Fallout for damn sure. Mm-hmm.
I definitely didn't need an Avowed 2, that's for sure.
Letting Obsidian reshift focus, use the correct game director, and make another banger. Yeah, let's do that. Let's get Josh Sawyer back in the mix, and let's get back to making good games, guys. But with that said, we are it's late. We're gonna come back at you. Late. Where can you find us, Jason? Yep.
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and x.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/tiltcastshorts with a Z. And search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find some friends of the show. You got For the Love of Gaming. You got Picking Up the Pixels or Pubcast and tvgp.tv. They do amazing things. And with that, it's the end of the damn show.
All right, guys. Peace.